Sannipanehe.
Sannipane.
Of Sannipani Muni.
Of Sannipani Muni.
Sakrit.
Sakrit.
Once only.
Once only.
Broktam.
Broktam.
Instructed.
Instructed.
Brahma.
Brahma.
All the Vedas.
All the Vedas.
With their different branches of knowledge.
With their different branches of knowledge.
Adhitya.
Adhitya.
After studying.
After studying.
Savistaram.
Savistaram.
In all details.
In all details.
Tasmai.
Tasmai.
Unto him.
Unto him.
Pradat.
Pradat.
Rewarded.
Rewarded.
Varam.
Varam.
A benediction.
Benediction.
Putram.
Putram.
His son.
His son.
Mritam.
Mritam.
Who was already dead.
Panchajanya.
The region of the departed souls.
The region of the departed souls.
Udarat.
Udarat.
From within.
From within.
Interesting. Translation. The Lord learned all the Vedas from their different branches simply by hearing them once from his teacher, Sandipani Muni, whom he rewarded by bringing back his dead son from the region of Yama Loka. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Shilvaupad Ki.
Jai.
Jai. No one but the Supreme Lord can become well-versed in all the branches of Vedic wisdom simply by hearing once from his teacher. Nor can anyone bring a dead body back to life after the soul has already gone to the region of Yamaraj. But Lord Krishna ventured to the planet of Yamaloka and found the dead son of his teacher and brought him back to his father as a reward for the instructions received. The Lord is constitutionally well-versed in all the Vedas, and yet to teach by example that everyone must go to learn the Vedas from an authorized teacher and must satisfy the teacher by service and reward. He himself adopted this system. The Lord offered his services to his teacher, Sandipani Muni, and the Muni, knowing the power of the Lord, asked something which was impossible to be done by anyone else. The teacher asked that his beloved son, who had died, be brought back to him, and the Lord fulfilled the request. The Lord is not, therefore, an ingrate to anyone who renders him some sort of service. The devotees of the Lord, who always engage in his loving service, are never to be disappointed in the progressive march of devotional service. So, Sandipani Sakrit Proktam Ramad Hitya Savistaram Tasmai Pradad Vadham Putram Rittam Pancha Jano Durat. So, Omagana Timiranda Shaganandjana Shlakaya Chaksur Unmeritam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, the story of Sandipani Muni is actually quite interesting. Because Sandipani Muni had a relationship with Krishna even before Krishna went to his ashram. Does anyone know the story?
Krishna.
What?
You named Krishna?
No. No, that was Garga Muni. You're thinking of a different Muni. Muni means like a thoughtful person. Nobody knows.
No.
How Sandipani Muni was involved in Krishna's Braj pastimes.
Purnamasi is
Purnamasi is who?
Grandmother.
She's the mother of Sandipani Muni, and Madhumangal is the son of Sandipani Muni. So, because Sandipani Muni, knowing about Krishna's pastimes and knowing that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's why he was able to ask for his son being brought back. He sent his mother and his son to be with Krishna in Vrindavan. And of course, Purnamasi is Yogamaya, the internal potency of the Lord. And of course, Subhadra is also Yogamaya. So there's different Yogamaya appearances. And Yogamaya arranges for all the different pastimes of the Supreme Person, Yogamaya and also Vrindadevi. Vrindadevi is in charge of the Vrindavan forest. That Vrindavan Actually, the name Vrindavan means the forest of Brinda. Vrindavana. As Prabhupada would pronounce it, Brin, he'd use a V instead of a V. He said, Vrindavana. That's how Prabhupada's pronunciation was. So, they would arrange Purnamasi and Brinda. They would arrange different seasons of the year simultaneously. Just like, you know, now we have beautiful weather here. You always have beautiful weather here, isn't it? Anyway, so Vrindavan always has beautiful weather, although because of our maya, or illusion, we can't see the beautiful weather. Sometimes too hot, sometimes too cold, sometimes too rainy. Just like sometimes I've gone in Govardhan Parikrama and the water came up to my waist. It was all a flash flood.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was in the city and I came back completely wet during the rainy season. It's all right. It's warm. You don't get sick. And during the hot season, sometimes I would just jump into the Kunz with all my clothes. And then 5 minutes later, completely dry. So I didn't need to use a washing machine. I washed the clothes in the Kunz. But when Krishna was present, all the seasons were there simultaneously. It was very pleasant at all different times. And this is the business of Yoga Maya. And of course, that's Purnamasi. And of course, Madhav Mango, his business was to spice up Krishna's pastimes. And so, like, one time, this one story about Madhav Mango, that Yashodamayi asked Krishna why he was so late from herding the cows. He came in really late that night. And Madhav Mango said to Yashodamayi, he was looking at all the girls. He just didn't have the discrimination. So Krishna says, shut up. He actually literally said, shut up, you fool. You know, you're getting me in trouble. So Madhav Mango is very interesting because he helped Krishna with his conjugal loving affairs. Sometimes he would make believe he was one. He and Krishna, there's a fun, famous story, make believe they were brahmanas offering sacrifice to the sun god. And they would engage Jatila and Kutila in this particular sacrifice, and then Madhav Mango, Krishna, when they did this, Krishna didn't ask for anything, you know, any dakshin. But Madhav Mango said, I want ladus. And other stories about Madhav Mango, of course, when he and Krishna were stealing butter, he was so fat that he couldn't fit out the window when Krishna and the cowherd boys jumped out the window. So the gopis caught him, and they were just like, beating him on the rear end. The famous story, you know, boom, boom, boom. And then what happened is that Krishna said to them, they've committed a great offense against the Brahmin. Because when you offend a Brahmin, it's very, very dangerous in the Vedic culture, anytime. And they, Krishna said, you have to go to him and beg for forgiveness. And then he said, well, you can get my benediction or forgiveness by giving me like 1,000 or 10,000 ladus. So they kept feeding him all these ladus, and then finally he blessed them to have Krishna as their husband. So many nice stories from Madhav Mango and Purnamasi, or Yogamaya. So Sandapani Muni, he had a relationship with Krishna already. And so therefore, he became the natural guru of Krishna when Krishna went to Mathura. And so as soon as Krishna arrived in Mathura, and of course he killed Kamsa and had this exchange with Kubja, he freed his parents, then it was decided that it was necessary for him to go to Gurukula. That was the system. Why was it necessary for a child to go to Gurukula? Because that's the training. And so the statement is in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanta Guroritam Archyandasabandhicho. That Brahmachari, or Brahmacharini, must go to the ashram of the spiritual master. And it's interesting, sometimes people say, I was just reading, sometimes people say that this is not good for ladies to go to the ashram, they should just stay home and make rotis. We just get ready to get married. So, but actually, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said in a very interesting talk, and it was written down, he said that there should be an ashram for the ladies also. But he said the men shouldn't go there. Because it's quite dangerous. And there's an interesting occasion in the Ramayana how Hanuman, he entered into the ladies' ashram when he was looking for Sita Devi. And he was thinking, I'm a brahmachari, what the hell am I doing here? And then he remembered Ram. He said, I'm Ram's mission, yoke. Krishna will protect me. Or Ram will protect me. So this Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, you can call it Vishnu Priya Pali. In other words, Vishnu Priya was the wife of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mm-hmm. So that means the place of Vishnu Priya. So, according to Bhakti, so it wasn't just Prabhupada who started this whole idea of Brahmacharini Ashram. When Prabhupada saw so many ladies joining in the Western world, he decided he needed a Brahmacharini Ashram. Couldn't just keep the ladies away. But sometimes in India, they don't appreciate that nowadays. I mean, I was talking to one temple president who's a friend of mine, and I said, why don't you have a Brahmacharini Ashram here? Who's in Tirupati? So, and there's so many brahmacharis in Sankirtan. And he said, if we had a brahmacharini ashram, we wouldn't have any brahmacharis. But if people are just like, can't maintain their brahmachari status just because there's some ladies around, then they're not brahmacharis to begin with. And then also, in the Radha Damodar party many years ago, Srila Tamal Krishnamurti told, this is when everyone was fanatic, told the men, don't preach to the ladies. Why? He said, because if they join, we'll lose someone on our party. It's a true story. I don't know if you ever heard that before. But. And then at one point, there was a proposal to the GBC to send all the ladies to Australia. And all the householders. Yeah, there was actually a serious proposal made to the governing body commission that in order to keep America safe for the brahmacharis. Oh.
I thought they sent all the convicted criminals.
I know, that was the whole idea. Anyone who decided to get married, any lady decided to join the Hare Krishna movement, she would go to Australia. Of course, Australia would have become a very strong yatra at that point. We had done that. But, of course, that wasn't passed by the GBC. And now we have so many grahasthas in America as a result. So there's lady ashram, male ashram. And so the purpose of the Gurukul is, according to Prahlad Maharaj, brahmachari gurukule. Actually, the word brahmachari means someone who is dedicated to the pursuit of Brahman in different aspects. Ramiti, Paramatmaiti, Bhagwaniti, Shabdite. In other words, at least the personal Brahman or the Paramatma or Bhagawan. So they're dedicated to spiritual life. That's really the point. That it's understood the purpose of life is spiritual life. You don't hear that so much when you're brought up nowadays, except in devotee families. So Brahmachari Guru Kule. They go to the Gurukula. Gurukula basically means the place of the spiritual master. Of course, traditionally, just like in the case of Sandapani Muni, it was a husband and a wife. And they were able to deal with the children like they were their parents, you know, surrogate parents. I think one of the problems ISKCON made, and continues to make, is in the ashram schools, you have brahmacharis running the ashram schools. And so the poor kids, they are, bereft of motherly affection. And that's actually necessary for a kid, isn't it? I mean, gotta have a mother. I mean, as far as I know, that's a tradition in all cultures. except if you happen to be Lord Brahma, you know, you didn't need a mother. You just come out of the navel. She's like, here I am. Here I am, Dad. Dad was Vishnu. So I think that's a big problem. And actually, I was one of the first teachers in one of the Gurukulas in ISKCON. And of course, I have a male body. And I was teaching these young boys, 5 years old. The parents dropped them off. Is it 5-year-old kids, just being dropped off with some brahmachari, 21-year-old brahmachari, who didn't know anything about kids. I thought kids were just as philosophical as adults were, So when the kids kept crying, mommy, mommy, then I said, that's actually Radharani's your mother. Krishna's your father. I said, you're Maya. So they, basically the kids cried more when they heard that. So, and then the kids would, at night they would wake up and actually they couldn't control, anyway, they'd pass in their beds because they were just feeling so much emotional distress being separated from their mother. I mean, it's just, in retrospect, I can see it was not a good idea. Really not a good idea. Because people need balance in their lives. They need a mother and a father. Not just some brahmachari who's just like training them up in some impractical way of dealing with the material world. Just like that story of Rishi Sringa. You know the story of Rishi Sringa? Ramayana. Rishi Sringa was brought up by his father, never seen a woman, because his father hated women. Because one woman tried to trick him. And so he was brought up without seeing a lady, and that's why he was able to be tricked later on to leave the ashram, because he thought the first lady he met, she was actually a prostitute, he thought that she was a brahmachari, just a good looking brahmachari. So he followed her, but that was good. Good it happened because you had, as a result, the appearance of Lord Ram. That was all part of the story, the appearance of Lord Ram. But that's good. So, anyway, so people need... And actually, Prabhupada said that when a young boy has more interaction with his mother, he won't be so lusty later on in life. It's interesting. It's actually very interesting. Because people have this problem with lust. So one of the ways you can help your child is just having a nice, loving relationship with your child, the mother having with the child. Because without the mother, it's very imbalanced. So even today, sometimes mothers send their kids away to boarding school if it's a mundane thing, isn't it? And it's just like people grow in a very imbalanced way.
But that is totally going out of fashion now, Guru Maharaj.
That's good. Yes. That's good. So it should go out of fashion in ISKCON too. Because it's not balanced. Mm-hmm. It's not a balanced childhood. So Sandapani Muni gave... Anyway, Krishna only spent 64 days with Sandapani Muni. It was like summer vacation. As it's described in the Krishna book. And in those 64 days, each day he learned some subject matter completely. Mm-hmm. That's Krishna book. Anyone here read Krishna book? You know that book?
Yes, yes.
It's from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It says Krishna book on the thing. Anyway, and there's 90 chapters. Anyway, so each day he had different arts that he learned. He learned calligraphy. That means how to write nicely. And then he learned how to speak the animals' languages. And another guy can speak the language of birds and frogs and all that. In just one day he learned that. Pretty good. Because he's God. So he knew it already, as Prabhupada said here. But he appeared to learn because that was his pastime. Showing the importance of approaching a spiritual master and surrendering to the spiritual master. He showed that importance. But traditionally, after spending some time in the Gurukul and satisfying the spiritual master, then one would give permission to continue brahmachari life or take sannyas or get married. There's stories in the Mahabharata about that. And that spiritual master would test the disciple in different ways. One story in the Mahabharata is how the spiritual master, this is the beginning of Mahabharata, how the spiritual master tested one disciple. Oh, this is an interesting story, now that I think of it. There's one disciple who was too fat. So he tested the disciple. He sent the disciple out to herd the cows, thinking the disciple would actually get a lot of exercise, wouldn't come for prasadam because he'd be out with the cows. But the disciple kept getting fatter. And he asked the disciple, you know, why are you still gaining weight, you know? Because people always say, I don't eat, but I still gain weight. Prabhupada said that to his sister. He was teasing his sister. He said, she says she doesn't eat. She's still fatty. But anyway, so then what happened is that he said to the disciple, you know, what are you eating? The disciple said, I'm begging. And I'm getting food. And he said, no, you're not supposed to do that. Everything you beg, you should offer to the spiritual master. So he was trying to reduce the disciple. So then the same thing kept happening, even after he offered to the spiritual master, and he asked the disciple, why is that happening? And the disciple said, because I offer you everything to you. The first time I beg, second time I take it myself. And his guru chastised me. He said, no, this is nonsense. Every time you will beg, must be offered to me. He said, yes, Guru Maharaj. So, but then he still didn't lose any weight, you know, after about a month or two. And the guru said, what's happening with you? What are you eating? He said, well, I'm taking the milk from the cows. Drinking a lot, you know, milk, fat, butter. It's kind of nice. So the guru said, no, you can't do that. He was training the disciple up in obedience. And the disciple said, okay, Guru Maharaj. And then after 2 months, he still was getting fat. And then the spiritual master said, what are you doing now? What are you eating now? He said, well, the calves are drinking the milk, because you said that milk is meant for the calves. But they leave some foam over, so I'm just like going around as a calf. You can imagine, as the calves were drinking from their mother, he was... You know, poor calf had some guy's face right next to him. You know, sucking up all the foam and everything that's coming out of the calf. You know, because when the calves drink, things come out of the mouth, so... I don't know what the calf was thinking. So, the guru said, no, nothing. Without, you can't eat anything without my permission. That's real training. And so, basically, he started to starve. And he just couldn't control himself. So, finally, he just saw a tree with leaves on it and just started eating the leaves. And these leaves were poisonous. And he became blind. He couldn't see and he fell in a ditch. And the guru was worried about his disciples. He said, maybe I was a little too heavy with this guy, you know. Maybe he blooped. So anyway, so the guru and his other disciples went looking for him. They found this disciple in a ditch. And the guru didn't pick him out of the ditch. He said, you should pray to the Ashwini Kumaras and they'll help you regain your sight. So the disciple was there praying, Ashwini Kumaras, because they're the doctors of the heavenly planets. So they came. And they said to him, here's some cake. If you eat it, you'll get your sight back again. And so he said, no, I'm not going to eat it. Because my guru said I can't eat anything. That was his dedication. And then the Ashwini Kumaras blessed him. All right, get your sight back. So it was a test. So the guru tests the disciple like that. That's a hard test. It was not... Another disciple this guru had, he was a heavy guru, he said, go out into the irrigation fields and make sure the water is running properly in the irrigation fields. But what happened is there was a break in one of the ditches, and so there was nothing he could do to repair the break. So the disciples just lay there and used himself as a block to repair the break. So he's lying there as the water was running over him and everything like that. And so the guru found him and said, I'm very pleased with you. So this is the Mahabharata story. I don't know if anyone's heard those stories before. That's in the beginning of the Mahabharata, the actual Mahabharata, not the Mahabharata you have in ISKCON. So, in other words, he was just showing the training the disciple gets in the ashram of the spiritual master. Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanta. He learns to control his senses, Guror Hitam, and work for the benefit of the guru. Archayan Dasavan. He learns his good behavior, Archayan Dasavan. he learns that he's full of service. He's a servant. Just like we have Bhagavan, he's full of opulences. So a devotee is Dasavan, full of service. You understand? Dasavan means full of service. So anyway, so this is what the training is in the ashram of the spiritual master. It's invaluable. I mean, I spent many years living in the temples and having that particular training. So, I mean, what do we do now that I don't think many of you are moving into the Brahmacharya ashram now? A little too late. And you can't teach an old whatever new tricks. Just like the devotees were talking to me about in the loft program here, they have some old people coming. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to teach them new tricks. Mm-hmm. I said, don't try. Mm-hmm. I said, just let them do what they can do and they'll go back to God. They won't do everything you're doing. But they, you know, they have less ability to change at an old age. So anyway, so the way that we can get training is making our home the place of the spiritual master. Our home should be Gurukula. Because it may not be practical to send everybody to Gurukula. So the home should be a place of the guru. In other words, you have an altar there, you're worshiping the deities, you play video games. No, you don't play video games. Everything should be regulated so that Krishna is at the center. And that way, you're accomplishing the same purpose. So anyway, so getting back to the story, Krishna, in 64 days, learned everything. Imagine being finished with school in 64 days. That would be nice, isn't it? In the future, you'd be able to download the information to your brain through computers. And all that.
Teachers will be unemployed.
Yes, that's good. Everybody will be unemployed. Everybody be just dumb and lazy and connected to the computers. So you learn a language in 10 seconds, you know. Anyway, I'm not sure that that's a good thing. So 64 days, and then when he was finished, he said, there's a system called Guru Dakshin. Just like when one takes initiation. Prabhupada even said that makes the initiation complete. Without the Guru Dakshin, the initiation's not complete. Because it's a reciprocation. It's part of this, you know, the verse, Tadvini Pranipantene, Pari Prashnena Sevya, that just try to inquire submissively from the spiritual master, render service. So that's the service. It's a traditional thing. That's the meaning of the Guru Dakshin. Not that the guru just initiates people to make a lot of money. In Fiji, it doesn't work like that. You get $5 Fiji Guru Dakshin on the average, especially in Lombasa, which is about $2 American. Yeah. Doesn't even pay for your ticket. So... But the reason for it is actually the reciprocation of service. That's the reason. It's not a question of money. I mean, sometimes the Guru Dakshin could be gold. That's even better. The price of gold nowadays is it's even a better idea than money. So ladies should give all their gold jewelry to the Guru. When they take initiation, all the gold... You have a rich guru there. Anyway, so... And actually, there was one interesting story. Yeah, that's a story about the teacher's considered one of the natural gurus. So there was one boy who was from a very poor family. And the teacher asked, you know, what are you going to give me for induction? Usually you're not supposed to ask that. But the teacher asked, and he went back to his mother and said, what can we afford? The mother says... we don't have anything. So you have to go to your friend Krishna, Dinabandhu, who's your friend. And he said, where is Dinabandhu? And mother said, in the forest. You know, outside. So he went to the forest and he said, Dinabandhu, Dinabandhu, where are you? And you know the story? Krishna gave him a little cup of yogurt. He said, you give this to your teacher. So he brought it to his teacher and the teacher got really upset. What is a stupid cup of yogurt? What is good as one cup of yogurt? But then he saw even when it spilled all over the place, the cup was still full. So he was able to feed the whole Brahmacharya ashram with it. And Anyway, so that's a story of Guru Dakshina. And then also you have the Ekalavya story of Guru Dakshina, where the guru asked for the guy's thumb. So we don't do that. Don't worry. We just ask for your gold jewelry. So No, it wasn't simply that he wanted to make Arjuna be the best. But he basically wanted to show that the Rickfoot philosophy doesn't work. We use that story to illustrate the point about Rickfoot philosophy, thinking you're getting initiated by the guru when you can't even communicate with him. Because you have to, being initiated by the guru has to say that I accept you. That's important, you know. He can't just say, he can say, well, guru, I just dreamed that you accepted me, when actually the guru's thinking, I don't want this rascal as a disciple. So there has to be that back and forth between the guru accepting and the disciple accepting. You know, it's a reciprocal relationship. So that story is used to show the silliness of the Rittvic philosophy. You know, the Rittvic philosophy means basically people are saying they can initiate on behalf of Prabhupada. You heard of this philosophy before? Mm-hmm. That would be crazy. Unless there's some, they can channel Prabhupada. You know what channeling is? Channeling is when you have these like psychic mediums and you say, I'd like to speak to my grandfather. And they go, ooh. And your grandfather starts speaking through the mouth of this medium. Hello, Julie. I've been missing you. You ever seen things like that?
Yeah.
You know, this is cheating. Because the grandfather's with Yamaraj. I mean, if he could actually challenge the grandfather would be saying, ouch, ooh, ooh. That's what the grandfather would be saying. Matt, I've been missing you. So that channeling. Anyway. So anyway, that's the purpose of the Ekalavya story. Because Arjuna could have defeated Ekalavya, and later on in the battle of Kurukshetra, Ekalavya learned to shoot with other hand. And he was pretty good at it, too. But Arjuna, I mean, and Karna was the equal of Arjuna in archery. But because Krishna was on the side of Arjuna, that's why Arjuna won. Not because he was the best archer. Because Krishna was on the side and Arjuna was completely surrendered to Krishna. That's why. As at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, wherever there's Krishna, there will always be victory. So the Guru Dakshina in this particular case was appropriate because Krishna is God. And he got the... First he went into this... there was this demon that swallowed the son of the spiritual master. I think his name was Panchajanya. And he was a demon. And he didn't find the son of the spiritual master in the belly. And then he went to Yamaraj. And then he got the son back. And the guru was very pleased. So... Anyway, one should ask the guru what he wants and be ready to give it. Just like that guy who was ready to stop eating. That's heavy, isn't it? Of course, nowadays the gurus are kinder and gentler. They won't torture you. They just say, we should be on time and eat at a decent hour, Krishna Chandra. That's all the guru said. You know, minor request. All right, so these are some of the points. So any questions or comments? This is a nice story in the Krishna book.
Was Mangal in Dwarka too? As Krishna's advisor?
Yeah. Well, according to Rupa Goswami, in his Lalita Madhava, we find Madhav Mangal there too. So, yeah, because Madhav Mangal actually came from Ujjain. Ujjain is the original place of Sandapani Muni. And we have a temple there. His Holiness Bhakti Chumars has established a nice temple in Ujjain, which we're going to for our GBC meeting in October, beginning of October this year. I've been there two times before. It was my third visit. It's a nice temple in Ujjain. And there's actually a temple to Sandapani Muni, where he was supposed to have had his ashram, that is some distance away from our temple. And even in our temple, there's a Vyasasan for Sandapani Muni. It's Prabhupada's Vyasasan. Anyone been to Ujjaini or no? You've seen it, right? So it's a very nice temple, guest house and everything like that. Ujjaini is a very important city. It's near Indore. You can fly into Indore or take a train directly to Ujjain, which I took a train. Yeah, the train's not bad. You take a train from Mathura to Ujjain. And that's the place to Sandapani Muni. So any other questions? Comments? Problems?
Dealing with old people, Maharaj.
Old people?
Yeah. Like how to bring them to Krishna consciousness?
Tie them up. You just feed them prasadam, you know. What else can you do, you know? They keep an MP3 player playing a Prabhupada. Now, an old person can change. It's just much harder. It's much harder. I mean, it's like it's hard for an old person to learn a new language, to do different things. For a kid, I mean, children learn languages like this. I mean, they speak up different. They can be multilingual at the time they're 5 years old. But old people, it's harder. So if they want, they can change. It's up to them. But we don't expect as much from them. You know, we don't expect them to go on Sankirtan for 12 hours a day on the street. We don't expect them to wake up early. We don't expect them to learn the philosophy as well. You know, they can learn the basic philosophy, but we don't expect them to learn so many verses like that. So it's different. Just a lower expectations. But they can go back to Godhead if they give 100%. The example I gave yesterday was like Hanuman and the spider. Spider's 100% was different than Hanuman's 100%. But the spider was just as dear to Lord Ram as Hanuman was. So let's just see their devotion. We're judging the devotion, not the amount of things they do, but the devotion. You know, even if they can just chant 5 rounds a day, you know, they can go back to Godhead. For older people, there can be some dispensation, you know. There can be some, we call it a handicap. We talked about golf the other day. It can be like a handicap, that's all. We had one old lady who's leaving her body and didn't chant many rounds, but I gave her initiation right as she was leaving her body. And because she was crying, I want Krishna, I want Krishna. And her family was not, they were not devotees. Don't you talk to that guru. Don't you ever talk to them. And they had to sneak the phone to her and everything. I was chanting for her every day, wherever I went in the world. I was chanting for her. She was the sister of Nav Kishori. I don't know if you know Nav Kishori in Australia. No, you don't. Krishna Vijaya's wife. You don't know Krishna Vijaya. No, anyway. They're from Fiji. From Fiji. Brajanath's their brother.
From Lombas?
No. Brajanath's not in Lombasa. He's in Tabwa.
Tabwa.
Anyway, whatever. So anyway, so every day I would call and she'd say, I just want to be Krishna conscious and to initiate it right before she left her body. And her husband was against it. Everybody was against it, but she was determined. And obviously she couldn't chant 16 rounds a day. Like, who can do that when you're dying from cancer? So anyway, there's special dispensation for people, but don't take advantage. Don't ask for it. Special dispensation. I'm working a job. I can only chant Hare Krishna once a day, you know. For older people. Okay? So we want to thank everybody joining us online. We got quite a few people. We have Rivati Nandan. Hopefully he's coming here.
On the weekend.
He's coming on the weekend. Agari from, you know Agari?
Fiji.
Sachi Mata from Fiji. And who else? Let's see. Rishesvari, Gopi Gita, Manohari Rana, Jainitai, Vajinandan, Sakyaladini, huh? Very nice. Angelina from Europe, Sita Sundari from Fiji, Saul Santiago from Brazil, Pritika, Vrindavan Chandra, but he's not from Fiji. He's in Sacramento, enjoying life in the U.S. Dira Prashanta from Europe, Tulsi Devi Dasi from America, Sumuka from Fiji, Nilachal. Remember not Nilachal?
Mm-hmm.
He's from Fiji, and Sudharma is his wife. And they're they're in Sacramento, too. That's where all the Fiji devotees go to hang out. On Monday, Sudharma, Devi Dasi. I thought Sudharma was here. Anyway, so Mayapur Chandra, another Sudharma. Mayapur Chandra. I know. This is another Sudharma. Leela Shakti Param from Vrindavan, Rishesvari, Antony, so many nice people. And we'll let everyone see the crowd here. This is New Zealand. this is the Indian part of New Zealand here. And the deities. Okay. Oh, Rivatinanda said he's coming on Saturday.